what's amazing over here is that previously the sailors, when they got to know the Lord, they said these words, "O Lord, has done as it pleased thee." They understood one lesson, that if one needs to be pleased, is only one, and that is the Lord himself. Chapter 4 opens this way before, it displeased Jonah. Wow. It displeased Jonah. I really believe, in a practical way, he's the only preacher, or maybe the first preacher, that really, instead of getting happy with saving souls, he was truly mad. I mean, Paul, when he used to save souls, he says, "You are my crown of what? Of joy." It was a matter of a joyful occasion that souls were saved. But this man was truly upset that souls were saved through his message. I can never understand it. But he was upset also of another thing. When he tried to express to the Lord his wonderful attributes, he said, "I knew that." Well, how did you know? Because of your dealing with the people of God, because of the dealing you had with Judah and Israel, we knew very well that you are a merciful God. You are a gracious God. You are slow to anger and great in kindness. It's a sad situation, dear brethren, if we really look at others and think ill of them, or that something bad will happen to them, and instead of praying for them to know Christ as a personal Savior. You know what? I always say it, and I trust that we all take it in the right way. When there is much about evil men in the world that were ushered into the world, that they should be killed and they should be there, I wonder how many of us have prayed for somebody like Osama bin Laden. How many of us prayed for real wicked individuals that they will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, because he is great in kindness.
In chapter 2, we found him knowing that the book of Psalms. In chapter 4, we found him knowing what Moses have said in Exodus 34. Because it was the same thing, this almost word for word again, what Moses have uttered in the presence of the Lord concerning the children of Israel, whom God was going to wipe them out because of the golden calf. So he knew what the scripture said. And that is a little problem sometimes. When we know what the scripture said in our mind, and we could quote the verses, but doesn't have any impact on our hearts. It did not have any impact. He knew. That's why he didn't want God to have mercy on them, because he knew God was a merciful God. He was like complaining, "I told you that. I know exactly what's going to happen. You're going to make me look bad. I said it's going to be turning, and it didn't. Now I look bad. And you have saved these people who deserve to be destroyed." And he was displeased and angry. He knew the word. But the word did not have any impact on our heart. He really did not know the mind of God.
Truly, what an attitude for someone to be in such a state. That because of that, Lord, take my life. I've had it. Just to see these attributes of God would cause me to give up. You know what? You and I, in our days, when we get into the goodness of these attributes, it's a great gain. It's nothing of like of Jonah, "Take my life." He said it twice. Once here, and the second time when this wonderful plant have died. Everything is circled around Jonah. But may it be as saints of God to understand what it was said in the book of Proverbs, "He that winneth souls is wise." We rejoice in the work of God, and we thank God, each and every one of us, that he is slow to anger, great in kindness. Because if these are not so of the blessed God, you and me, we will not be enjoying a day of conference like this today. Here, brother.
As you look at the depth of emotions that come out in the expressions of verse 1, It displeased Jonah, not just that it displeased him, Mr. Darby says, exceedingly. And he was angry. This is depth of emotions that you can't seem to calculate here. He was so headstrong in his disposition towards God, what God had done. And what is he engaged in? He's engaged in praying. Well, why do we pray? One of the reasons we pray is in relation to need, seeking the mind of the Lord, direction and things of that nature. But he is praying God for God to change his disposition. Not Jonah's disposition, but for God to change his own disposition. He's displeased in the manner in which God has acted. And he says, I told you that that's what you will do. We need to be challenged as to what we pray about, what we pray for, why we pray. Jonah, remember here, is the man who's writing this book, you know. I have to wonder how he is feeling at the end, having had to write in the fashion in which he wrote, recounting how he spoke to God, his own disposition over the matter of Nineveh being saved. It's a challenge. His emotions are deeply set on accusing God of doing something which was not the conventional way with which to deal with Nineveh.
The Spirit of God that took control of Jonah when he was writing that. So this way he could express what it is. It's a true state of him. If he wrote it on his own, maybe he would have kind of lightened it up a little bit.
I was just thinking that so often we can learn from the two prayer of Jonah. And we have said, and rightly so, that this is the prayer in chapter 2, type of the Lord Jesus Christ in death and so forth. But if we look, we can also learn from it from Jonah's point of view, his standpoint. Here he was in much difficulty. He was in the belly of the fish. And look at the attitude of his prayer. He obviously didn't pray that I die here. He knew, he ended by saying, thou art a God of salvation, as it were, to come out of to deal with it in a right way. But when he comes here, and so often we are like that, when we are in difficulties, we pray, Lord, take us out of the difficulty, or at least let me go through the difficulty. But here in chapter 4, now the prayer is different, isn't it? Here, something, the grace of God and his mercy came upon man, and he's very displeased. So often, aren't we like that? We see something good coming into the meeting, but because we have some difficulty with someone, we pray in this type of way. We to adjust ourselves as we pray, I believe that we should look at both prayer. See which one Jonah prayed, the first one, and then the second one. The first one having to do with himself and calling upon the mercy of God. The second one, I don't want mercy for the people. And, you know, so often we were speaking in the car coming here, and we were speaking that when we pray, you know, so often we can know everything that's going on. And we don't pray for the welfare of those who, because I may have some difficulty. This is Jonah. He had difficulty with what God had done. He had, even though he himself had proven the mercy of God, but for Jehovah to extend mercy to another one, he had so much problem. It is a great lesson when we look at both prayer.
Perhaps another aspect of what happened here with Jonah is something else that often happens in our own lives, and that is that the positive changes that often result from perhaps a day like today, when you feel a place of spiritual highness, you feel like lifted up and so on and encouraged, and you're ready to go out, and starting on Monday, you're going to spend all your free time reading the scriptures and so on. But then quickly it's short-lived, because we see Jonah's, at the end of chapter 2, it seemed as if things were going to be all right. And now he's walking this tiring journey to Nineveh, and the whole time he's probably, that feeling is fading away. He preaches the word, and now we see his response here. And I think the pattern of knowing Scripture and being acquainted with it, he also knew the prophets. He was just following Elijah's example. Elijah did the same thing right after the probably one of the most memorable moments in Scripture with the prophets on top of Mount Carmel. He runs away because Jezebel threatens him. Did he not just perform this miraculous thing, bringing down fire? This is an amazing... How did he forget? It's the same pattern. It's the flesh itself within us that must be judged as we were studying Joshua in our Tuesday night Bible study. It's going to Gilgal. It's always cutting off the flesh, cutting off our connection with this world, cutting off so that we are living a spiritual life. And so it's not a matter of going up a mountain to get there, but you're always on top, in the heavenly places, always in that spiritual condition.